the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team.
Welcome, everyone, to today's episode of Lifetime Planning. It is Aaron Wiegman and Crystal Colbert here to talk to you about if you're looking at your 401k right now and saying, did I keep up with the market? Did I not keep up with the market? Markets rallied, I guess, in the last 6 months, but I really wasn't expecting that. So what do I wind up doing from here? And so let's talk a little bit first, Crystal. I mean, just I get some practical advice about, you know, what our expectations are going forward. How do we wind up implementing that into our allocation? You know, I guess all of the above. So it'll be a little bit of a shorter one here today, but I think it should have some like a practical, useful knowledge that we can put in play for folks. So Crystal, I guess explain to me like what's been happening over the last 6-12 months within the stock market.
Yeah. So I actually had a fair amount of clients recently ask about their 401k allocations, where they should be allocated, how they should be allocated. So I think this is a really good topic to bring up as of right now, because the market's just been so unpredictable lately. I mean, when you look at back in 2022, the S&P finished down over 19%. And then the aggregate bond market finished down for the year over 12%. So a lot of volatility there. But then when you look at the performance as of right now, the S&P is up over 15% year to date, and the aggregate bond market is up 2%. So it's like, what do? You know, there's so much fear in the markets. You just don't know what's going on. Is it a new bull market? What's going on?
Yeah. So is this, okay, is this a bear market rally? Is it a new bull market? Is it the end of the bear market? However you want to, you know, classify it at this point in time. You know, as you can just look at it though, I mean, you see the stock market performance. If you're chasing the NASDAQ, NASDAQ is up 37%, but then you look at the Dow, it's only up 3.7%. So it's kind of a matter of what it is that you're chasing, I guess. And I think that's the big thing for people to pay attention to. Am I actually chasing the stock market? Do I need to be chasing the stock market? Should I really be taking that much risk with my portfolio, I guess, to begin with? And so talk to me a little bit about the bear markets and bull markets and, I guess, you know, how rallies are extended. I mean, give me a little bit of clarity on that.
Just in general, when we enter into a new bull market, usually new bull markets are characterized as strong performance from nearly every sector, every industry, and the bulk of the listed stocks moving higher, right? So in the beginning of the year, we all thought, you know, a recession was going to be happening. Most people all almost guaranteed a recession happening this year, right?
If you look at the pundits, I mean, everyone coming into this year was extremely bearish. I mean, there was that oncoming recession that we've been waiting for. I mean, it's going to be happening. You look at all the key performance indicators, the LEIs, you name it. It was not pointing to a stock market that did what it's done already this year, right?
Exactly. And initially, we all thought, okay, this is another bear market rally, because last year we experienced two bear markets within a single year in the S&P 500. So coming out of October, we're all like, okay, this is another bear market rally. But since this bear market rally is like record length, and obviously has turned into a new, what they're calling a new bull market, just because it's over 20% from its lows.
Technically, those lows back in October, we are above 20% on that at this point in time. Now, it's just a matter of like whether or not that holds or if we wind up pulling back. I guess, you know, the crystal ball, what does that actually say, right?
Exactly. If everyone had one, we wouldn't be sitting here. So
right.
We'd be on an island somewhere. But no, I mean, it's definitely something that we have to consider. And I think going into how you really position your 401ks, you should be really looking at the long-term positioning of your portfolio and not necessarily what's going to happen in the short term, right? Because you want to make sure that you're meeting your goals long-term versus chasing returns as of right now, right? Like, right. Do you need to be overly aggressive? Do you need to, that sort of thing?
Sticking to a long-term asset allocation that you're comfortable with is going to make you sleep a lot better at night, I would say. And you know, even when you wind up looking at the timing of what's going on in the market, if it is a new bull market, what have you, and the other thing that comes into it is just kind of that presidential election cycle. So you always wind up, well, not always, but you know, there hasn't been a negative 12 months after the midterm elections since 1950. So pretty good history on that, if I'm going to be pointing to that. But, you know, as we wound up looking, like I said, coming into this year, you see all of the signs pointing to recession. And usually that does not wind up playing a good role in how the stock market performance looks. So, you know, as you wind up looking at your 401k allocation, well, first off, when was the last time you looked at your 401k allocation?
Right? Don't ask me. I literally looked at it the other day.
But I would say your average person out there may not be looking at their 401k on a regular basis. And so it might come to a surprise as to how it is that they're allocated. That could be overly aggressive or overly conservative, and they just haven't had that kind of advice as to like how I should have a long-term portfolio be allocated for me.
Exactly. And I think another issue too is a lot of individuals, especially younger individuals, don't know how their 401k is allocated, or they just don't know how to properly allocate their portfolio. What are most people going into, like starting their jobs and, you know, filling out the paperwork for the 401k? They're like, what are these indexes? What are these things telling me? How should I actually invest my portfolio? You know, so it's something that you need to regularly review your investment portfolio, so that way you know you're setting yourself up well for the future. So going back to those long-term goals, what is happening in the next 10, 15, 20 years from you, and how should you position your portfolio?
But for me, as like the average person who's, you know, reviewing my portfolio, what should I be looking for?
Right. No, exactly. So
yeah, that's great. I'm going to review it. Here's my balance. Here's what this fund says, but I have no idea what that fund means. Right. So, you know, that is a part of the difficulty. And there might be some, if you're signing up for your 401k, they might have like a particular fund that they automatically put you into that you may or may not be comfortable with. Right. Sometimes they have available maybe some target funds, some like, you know, allocation type funds that might be, you know, conservative to all the, you know, aggressive. But I guess to your point, totally depends on your risk profile. What kind of risk am I comfortable with? When am I going to actually need this stuff? Right. What's my time horizon on that?
Exactly. And I think it is important. I mean, especially if you're not as familiar with them, one, you should definitely consult with a financial advisor. If you're wondering where you should be allocated, what's going on, you know, in the markets in general, and what your time horizon really looks like. But we always have to remember too, like we can't properly time the market, right? We never know what's truly going to happen 6 months from now or a year from now. So focusing on those long-term goals is the best thing for you. So, you know, if you're going to work for the next 20, 30 years because you're just entering into your career, you can afford to take more risk. But how much risk are you comfortable with taking? Because with me, I know I can be very aggressive and I'm willing to take on more risk. But then maybe, you know, another individual, like even my husband, he's put everything under a pillow.
So you might have to nudge him to take a little bit more risk just because it might be good for him in the long run.
Exactly. Right? Like some people just can't handle a lot of volatility. So there are a lot of programs too, where you can sign up for, take a risk tolerance survey, even just working with us, taking a risk tolerance survey through us to kind of gauge properly what you're comfortable with.
Yeah. It's that question that we like to ask. What's your threshold of pain?
Yeah. Are you comfortable with a 10% loss?
Would that be a 10%? 15? Would you freak out at 10%? Are you going to sell it all? Are you going to just go ahead and maintain that allocation because you know it's going to bounce back? So everyone has a different threshold of pain when it comes to that. And I guess that's something to really kind of realize for yourself.
Yeah. And not to mention too, like evaluating the performance of your 401k versus a proper benchmark. Like a lot of people just think the S&P is the best benchmark for every given portfolio, right? But that's not necessarily the case, because unless you're 100% equity exposure, it doesn't make sense to compare it to the S&P 500. If you're in something like a balanced portfolio where half of it is in bond allocations, which is more preservation of capital, you're going to be very disappointed with your returns compared to the S&P 500. Unless it's a really bad year for the S&P 500, then maybe not.
Which you could do, you know, much better than that. But I guess that is the, okay, what's the right benchmark? How am I comparing myself? Am I comparing myself against the gains of NVIDIA and Meta? You name it, like all the high flyers of today, you know, but that doesn't really make sense if you do have that balanced portfolio and you are having a well-diversified long-term allocation. So, Yeah, good point there. So when we talk about having the right, okay, so we went through the risk survey, we know what our allocation should be, not only for our current balance, but also the new contributions going forward. I guess that's another part of it is that, like, if you do have that 401k, you're automatically dollar cost averaging as that money goes up and or the prices go up and the prices go down. So you're already doing a really good job of just having like an automated like way to accumulate funds.
Absolutely.
In the good times and the bad.
Exactly. And honestly, okay, at one point, if you buy in at the height of the market, like maybe let's just say last year when everyone was contributing to their 401k, obviously, you know, in the beginning of the year, you probably contributed at the height of the market. But then towards the end of the year, you had contributed towards the bottom of the market, right? You were contributing when the market was, you know, 20% down in December, right? Now you've actually, all those contributions have appreciated, you know, according to the S&P 500, 15%. So you're kind of making up for lost time. So even though sometimes it can go down, overall, you're spreading out through dollar cost averaging, which is always going to be good for you going forward.
Well, and the other part of that too is when you wind up seeing if your investments have had a pretty good time in the last 6 months or if it's been a really bad time, a lot of times inside your 401k, you can do automatic rebalancing too. So if you know you have that proper allocation within your portfolio, or I mean, it's automatically happening if you have that target fund or that like allocation fund that's already in there. But just making sure that over time, like you're just bringing that back in line, just bringing it back to even, you know, it's just like a constant way of you being able to just like automate your 401k so that you maintain that proper balance.
Sometimes just some investments can perform far better than the others. So sometimes, you know, if you have this huge run up in the market in a particular sector or particular, maybe the S&P is running up more than in general for one time, maybe we're not going to chase returns. So rebalancing and putting it back into place so that way you're properly allocated is going to be smart moving forward. And like you said, generally speaking, it's automatically rebalanced each quarter.
And then I think when you wind up talking about diversification of just different asset classes, sectors, things like that, you know, I think that kind of plays into what kind of funds it is that we wind up choosing inside of the portfolio. So if you are choosing the individual funds, I always find this interesting is that when I ask the question a lot of times about how an individual chooses funds inside of their 401k or things of that sort, I would say most often it's a matter of looking at the fund performance from the year before, seeing how well that did, and then investing in that once again. Now, there's something to be said sometimes for momentum and things like continuing on like that. I mean, you know, there's reasons why things perform one year and then maybe they continue on. But, you know, most often you don't want to be chasing performance, right?
Yeah.
Something that goes up, you know, greatly in 21, 22 may not have the same kind of performance in 23. So I guess it's a matter of looking at that realistically and going back to that same, what's my risk tolerance? You know, am I chasing international? Am I chasing technology? Am I chasing energy? You know, whatever it was that was doing really well that one year. And maybe I need to balance myself out a little bit.
Exactly. And it really comes down to like considering your age and your retirement goals and your investment timeline. Like if you are nearing retirement and you're 3 to 5 years out from retirement, maybe you shouldn't be 100% invested in the S&P 500. Even if you think, oh, you know, the S&P is going to continuously go up, we're in a new bull market, not the smartest move, because God forbid something does happen and, you know, the S&P drops like it did last year. You know, you don't want to lose 20% of your portfolio because you were too aggressive entering into retirement. So it is something to really consider as far as what your goals are, what your time horizon is, like we said before, and just really reallocate your portfolio if you're sitting somewhere like that. Because a lot of the times I've had clients say, oh yeah, I've been 100% stocks all the way through up until my retirement. And I'm like, oh.
That could work out and it may not work out. I mean, I guess it's putting that extra risk on it. And it's not as though even when you wind up getting to retirement, you want to go 100% cash or 100% fixed income. Because if you retire at 60, 65, 70, the longevity of people these days, I mean, there's more and more people who are making it to age 100. So we have a few decades of growth and being able to keep up with inflation and so on and so forth that we can't just go 100% conservative with things either.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. But
that's going to depend on the situation. You might want to talk to a financial advisor about that.
Yeah, exactly. Really consider your family time, like your family health history and longevity, and realizing, you know, you're maybe going to live until 100. I mean, we were talking about this the other day in one of our advisory meetings of how even life insurance companies are going all the way up to like 121 years of age, right? Mm-hmm. For their analysis. So it's just, it's crazy to think how much longer people are living these days. So really bringing your portfolio too conservative might not be the best, you know, decision for you.
The most optimal.
Yeah, exactly. More of a balanced strategy.
So, and I guess that kind of plays a role, you know, how do I wind up including bonds into my portfolio? And like bonds had a terrible year last year.
Horrible. Yeah. They were down over 15% at one point in the year.
The correlation between stocks and bonds last year was very high, very high.
Yeah.
But I say when you look at bonds these days, and that may not always be the case because, of course, that changes with every sort of market. But, you know, now as you're seeing short-term treasuries, you know, treasuries that are 6-12 months out are getting us 5%, you know, essentially risk-free. That's not a bad place to go ahead and hide these days. But to our previous point, if we're looking at a long-term retirement, we can't be 100% stocks for the most part. So we have to look at that proper allocation between the both of them. But that does provide us a little bit of safety if we're talking about immuting what that volatility in the stock market looks like by adding in that other bond allocation, right?
Right, exactly. And I mean, like you, to your point, I mean, we've really seen total return when it comes to bonds really come back just because the Fed had raised rates so aggressively and so fast last year. And now we're starting to see yields that we haven't seen in years, which is quite nice.
Right. I mean, it is refreshing to be able to do that because it was a lot of tough sledding in the bond market prior to the last year.
Mm-hmm.
So as you look at everything we've spoken about already, I guess that does heed the importance of seeking some professional advice if it's something that you're not comfortable with or it's not something that you're doing yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there is value in consulting a financial advisor, a financial planner, whether it be after a market rally, after a bear market, you know, what have you. If you're looking at your long-term allocation, you know, a lot of times people's biggest investment is going to be their 401k just because that's the automatic place where they're putting money, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, these days, I think it's all that much more important as you wind up seeing the fluctuations in the market. There's a lot of stuff going on that you speak to someone professionally if it's not something that you're comfortable with already, or at least getting a second opinion, right? Yeah.
And really understanding too what you're investing in is going to be beneficial, of like knowing what the large cap index funds look like and how they performed and what their outlook is going forward. Same with sometimes, you know, you might not know what's happening in international spaces or if you should be investing there or in bonds. So it's something that we can absolutely help you out with if you ever, you know, want some advice when it comes to allocating your portfolios, when it comes to your 401k. And we've actually started implementing a new software where we can actually, it's called Pontera, and it's basically this third party platform where we can actually log into the portfolio and help you make those adjustments according to your risk tolerance, your time horizon, what you're looking to do, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's kind of a neat technology platform that allows us to advise on your 401k and help you make those allocations and trades and things proactively for you. So if you do have any sort of interest about that, please do reach out to us and we can certainly give you our contact information at the end of this here. So Crystal, as we wind up looking at the things that we discussed here, I mean, what would be the main points that you would say? Like, look at your 401k.
Yeah. Know how your 401k is invested. If you don't know what you're truly invested in, reach out to an advisor or somebody that can really help you explain how you're allocated and what type of risk you're taking on and if you're comfortable with that. And looking at your goals when it comes to long-term planning, just making sure that it's going to meet your goals and you're comfortable with the risk that you're taking.
And just incorporating that into your overall financial plan, right? Because your financial plan is going to be different than somebody else's. And so we can't give just overarching advice about, you know, this is exactly what you should do, because that's going to be different for everybody. You know, some people aren't necessarily going to be using their 401k because they have other assets. Some people are solely going to be dependent on their 401k. So they need to look at that a little bit differently. So I guess, however, it applies to you. If you do need that help, please do reach out to us if you need a second opinion on things, or you just want to have some advice in financial planning. So Crystal, how can someone reach out to you going forward?
Yes. So you can call me at the office at 858-487-3939, or you can email me at crystal.colbert, which is C-O-L-B-E-R-T at financialsense.com. And Aaron, if they wanted to get a hold of you, how could they get a hold of you?
You're going to catch me at the same phone number. It's the 858-487-3939, which is the same number that you just said. And yeah, of course, they can email me. Email is Aaron, A-A-R-O-N dot Wiegman, W-I-E-G-M-A-N at financialsense.com. Thank you for joining us here today. Hopefully you were able to learn something. And like we said, if you have any questions about your 401k, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. Take care.
See you next time.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.